today on Real Radio.
It doesn't matter what you believe. I'm commanded to love you and to take care of you and treat you honorably as a human being. I should be your best friend even if you do not believe like I believe. My life, our life should stand out. Why? Because God saved us and God loves us and we know all about that. We know his word. We live it in a humbly way. There go I, we would say, but for the grace of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 2. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter's writing to Christians who are learning how to live out their faith in a whole new world. They faced incredible opposition. Suffering and sorrow awaited them. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? In part 1 from 1 Peter chapter 2, we saw how Peter changes his focus from suffering and discouragement through trials and persecution to our behavior as Christians and the battle of the flesh. As Christ followers, we're not to live for our own fulfillment, but to live in such a way that we glorify God and represent His love to the world. It's God's desire for us to be an example of His character and to share the gospel to whoever will listen. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that those who rule over us are in the hands of the Lord. God puts leaders over us for our learning. He always has a plan and everything belongs to Him. That's the truth. We only need to trust and obey His authority. And now in his message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Wherever you and I go, we're to be like that city on a hill of hope, love, caring. The world may not like you because you and I are attached to a message. We are attached to a Savior and a Messiah. But our faith is very intentional, but we need to conduct ourselves in a sense of humiliation. You say, well, I don't like that word still. Well, how about this? We need to learn real English again. We all know American, but we need to know English. Okay, you want to know some English? It's very simple. Go to Amazon and order the book by Noah Webster. It's his dictionary from 1828. It's the authoritative book on the American language in the world since 1828. I'm dead serious. If you want to know what a real word means in this world for realsies, not this modern new definition stuff, go to Noah Webster. It is the groundwork for the English language. And by the way, he incorporated, it's only about that thick, by the way. It's awesome. Noah Webster, he says, humiliation, the act of humbling, the state of being humbled, descend from the elevated state or rank to one that is low or humble. The former was humiliation of deity, the latter a humiliation of manhood, the act of abasing one's pride. In other words, take yourself off the top shelf and put yourself on the bottom to be available. God, what do you want me to do? When you pray, Lord, use my life, when you ask God to open up a door of opportunity for you to let his name be known, you are actually conducting yourself in an act of humiliation. It's a good thing. Throughout our nation's history, our presidents have called our nation, did you know this, to calls or displays of humiliation. One of the most famous is Proclamation number 97. It was declared on March 30th, 1863, and it was the day appointed by the president as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer by Abraham Lincoln. He called the nation to pray. But before you pray, you bring yourself, listen, in humiliation before God, in all submission to God. As Christians in this world, we are submitted to God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But verse 13 tells us, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Notice for the reason, by the way, it's for the Lord's sake. Do what for the Lord's sake? Subject yourself. Bring yourself into a humble state, an obedient place of every ordinance of man. What is that? Human government. God is saying to us, the Christian should be the paramount hallmark citizen. You might say, well, I'm a good citizen. I don't cheat on my income tax. That's not a good citizen. You're not supposed to cheat on your income tax. The Christian should set the standard of any community. I know people don't like to hear this, but here's the deal. The Christian should be the role model of a community. We're not asking people to believe to believe what we believe, and you've got to pull the line of our belief. We're inviting people to know God. Whatever you choose to do, guess what? We're going to love you anyway. Well, I don't want to be a Christian. Well, listen, I was going to say God bless you, but that doesn't work. May the luck of the Lord be with you. But listen, it doesn't matter what you believe. I'm commanded to love you and to take care of you and treat you honorably as a human being. I should be your best friend, even if you do not believe like I believe. My life, our life should stand out. Why? Because we have an intentional faith, and because God saved us and God loves us and we know all about that. We know his word. We live it in a humbly way. There go I, we would say, but for the grace of God. And Abraham Lincoln understood that, and he called our nation to a time of self-examination, self-introspect before God, and then to pray to God. What a wonderful thing that is. The Bible tells us regarding this obedience to the institutions or the ordinances of man that we should obey the law. The Bible tells us in Romans 13, verse 1, that every soul should be subject to the governing authorities. Did you know that? For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Authorities. What are those authorities? Those authorities appointed by God, listen, that have power over you. Now, again, you got to remember, this is written 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire. You and I live in a republic here in the United States. Rome took their government very seriously. They prided themselves on their republic. So Peter writes this to a people who are fleeing for their lives under the persecution of Emperor Nero. Did you know, have you ever been to Rome? Have you been to the Colosseum? Do you know the displays at the Colosseum? That the Romans are embarrassed of Nero. Did you know that? They hate him because of his antics against the Christian world 2,000 years ago. But Peter was living under that. And Peter is saying, be subject to the government. But how does that play out in our lives today? Well, again, in Romans 13, it tells us that we are to be responsive and under the directive of the authorities, because it says there in Romans, it goes on to say in Romans 13, 1, that the authorities that exist are appointed by God himself. Submission to the powers that be is submission to God. You see, Jack, are you telling me that if I go 55 miles an hour into 35 and I get a ticket, that's God at work? Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying. Well, Pastor, how about this? I did this and I did the other thing and I got caught and now I got to go to court. Will you pray for me? Yeah, sure. May the full extent of the law be levied against this. What am I supposed to say? Do you understand that? Well, you know, I don't know how that thing got in my pocket, but I was at the store and I left and it was in my pocket. Don't know how I got there. Come on, give me a break. You break the law, you pay the price. Who's established that? God has established that. Listen, we don't like it because we don't want to pay the price and we want to break the rules. The Bible says that God uses the authorities, the powers that are in place for a reason. See, yeah, but what about governments or leaders or presidents or governors that I don't agree with? I'm with you. But you obey. Oh, now this really begins to rub some people on this one. Listen, personally, off the record, I think Jerry Brown has functioned as the worst governor the state has ever seen. His policies have been terrible. They've been anti-Christ, they've been anti-family, anti-farm, anti-environment. It's been terrible. Here's the deal. When I go to Sacramento, listen, I pay respect for that office. Do you understand that? Proverbs 21:2 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, the ruler, put governor, put president, put congressman. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And like the water, the rivers of water, he turns it. That is the leader, the ruler, wherever he wishes. You know, God's leaders are in place to execute God's will. You say, well, why do we have certain presidents or leaders that I don't like or that I don't? God is testing our commitment. Now, again, we live in a very unusual part of the world. We get to pick our leaders. Most of the world doesn't. We get exactly what we pick. Sometimes it works out great, sometimes not so. Here's the deal. I didn't vote for the previous presidency. I didn't vote for Obama. I didn't vote for him, but I prayed for him every day. Pray for his salvation. Pray for his protection. Pray that he would make the right decisions. Why did I do that? Because God put him there to teach us something, to speak to us about something. You may not like President Trump. Listen, I mean, I voted for him, but it's irrelevant. Here's the deal. It's funny because all in the news, I was told in the news that the Russians made me vote for him. Did you see that? It's in the news. I didn't know that. Hillary Clinton made me vote for Donald Trump. Here's the deal. You may have voted a different way. You may have voted a different way. So that's not my president. Listen, yes, they are your presidents. Because here's what happened. God put them there. The Bible says God puts them in and he takes them out. In this world, in this republic, he does it by voting. Isn't it amazing? Look, mathematically, there is no way mathematically that Trump should have won. There ain't no way that Trump should have won. Ain't no way. It was mathematically impossible. But God had a plan. Here's the deal. Well, I don't like my mayor, and I don't like my police chief, and I don't like, hey, zip it. If you, listen, zip it. Pray for them. You're commanded to pray for them. And if you don't like it, why don't you run for mayor? That's the kind of country we live in. It's a pretty miraculous country we live in. If you don't like something, you can change it. But God says you obey the laws of the land. And the Bible says that our leaders are our leaders by God's ordinance, by God's decree. I think it's pretty amazing. What's amazing also to me is the fact that when Jesus interacted with government, he never disavowed the Roman Empire. Did you know that? Did you know nowhere in the Gospels did Jesus ever say, oh, these Italians drive me nuts? He never said anything about the emperor. In fact, you know what? Remember when time came to pay taxes to Rome? Remember Jesus didn't have any money? Do you remember what happened? It's awesome. Peter was with him. Peter's like, oh man, what are we doing? We ain't got any money. We're going to get in trouble. We're going to get arrested. We got to pay taxes. Jesus says, go down to the bay, go down to the harbor. There'll be a fish there. Grab it by the mouth, take out a coin, and go pay the taxes for you and I. Wouldn't you love to have a fish like that in your backyard? Jesus obeyed. Isn't that amazing? Matthew chapter 22, verse 15, all the big ruckus is going on about Jesus and all the authority that he has, but they're trying to figure out where did it come from. The religious scribes are very bent out of shape. And so Matthew 22:15 says, then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him, Jesus, in his talk. Good luck. And they went to him and he sent to them their disciples with the Herodians saying, teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of man. This is all a bunch of buttering up junk. Verse 17, tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Stop right there. If Jesus says nope, now Jesus is going to jail. Jesus is not obeying the authority that is. If Jesus says yep, now he's got the religious hierarchy that's going to stone him to death. It's a dilemma. It's an impossible lose-lose situation. You got to wonder how long they had been thinking this up. What can we do to him? So it looks like Jesus is caught in a pickle. Look at verse 18. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? I love when he talks like that, by the way. Makes me feel better. Show me the tax money. And so they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. And Jesus said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they had heard these words, they beat the guy up who had that bad idea. No. When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. You know what Jesus was saying? Render to Caesar the stuff that Caesar wants, but to God, the things that are God's. Translation. Give to Caesar what he's asking for, because don't worry about it. Everything Caesar has belongs to God. Go ahead and give Caesar his taxes. Just remember this, Caesar belongs to God. Caesar's throne belonged to God. Rome belonged to, who made Rome? Who made the land that Rome was sitting on? God. Caesar's palace belonged to God. Even Caesar's salad belonged to God. There was no way. Jesus not only answers brilliantly from heaven above, there's no human logic. We read it and we go, I get that. No. You know, listen, that's wisdom from above. It's amazing. He answered and he answered. Both had their answers. And Jesus had his way. Everything belongs to God, including Caesar. America belongs to God. Sacramento belongs to God. Chino Hills belongs to God. Your car, my car, our clothes belongs to God. So that's why, another reason we should be humble. Whatever you have, God gave you for a reason. It belongs to him. Somebody condemned in a debate Abraham Lincoln. There was a big debate, and one of his opponents, I forget the guy, he's a very famous name, you might know him, but one guy accused Abraham Lincoln, mocking his appearance. He was not an attractive man. And Abraham, in other occasions, had said that God had given him this face. He couldn't send it back. But in a debate, somebody, one of his opponents said, you're a liar, you're two-faced. And he said, good sir, if I were two-faced, you think I'd be wearing this face? Isn't that a great line? That has nothing to do with our study, but it is very, very cool, though. And so he tells us that we should submit, look at this, to those, as to the king supreme, we would say president, or to governors, we would say governors, as to those who are sent by him. That's all that are in the authoritative power of those being sent out. And you think about this for a moment. Have you ever been pulled over? Have you ever had CHP pull you over? That guy, you know, that gal, that guy, that officer coming up to your car, you don't say to them, excuse me, officer, I don't, you know what? I know you. And I am not going to sign this ticket because I don't agree with your life's decisions and how you live your life. I know where you live, and you don't do that. You want to know why? The officer's personal life didn't pull you over. You may not like that officer at all. It's irrelevant. They have a badge right about here looking you right in the face. And it says, the state of California. The state of California pulled you over. That guy's the messenger of the authority. And when he pulls out his pen, it's to exercise righteousness and judgment. Did you know that? He's God's servant. She is God's servant. And we are to obey the laws. When we break laws, laws are made, laws are good. In fact, you guys, look, I want you to look at the Supreme Court of the United States. You ever been to the Supreme Court? If you ever go to Washington, D.C., you got to go to the Supreme Court. First thing, it would be beautiful building. It looks like it's yanked right out of Athens. It's just spectacular. But when you go there, you're going to be impressed with a lot of things. One of them is all the lawgivers of human history are lining the molding at the top, huge. They're all looking at one guy. And that one guy's in the middle. In fact, the Supreme Court justice with the other justices sitting to his right or his left, he's got to look right face on to this lawgiver, the most famous lawgiver ever in human history. And that's him right there. I'll give you a hint. If you don't know who it is, you've never been to D.C., he's holding two tablets, and they're labeled 1 to 10. It's Moses. See, how do you know? Well, it says Moses underneath there. And he's looking at the justices of the Supreme Court with the Ten Commandments. The law. It's to be obeyed. It's to be followed. It's to keep a culture and a society together. When you lose the law, when you have lawlessness, you have anarchy. When you have anarchy, people die. God says, keep the law. Now, what about when the Bible says to us to disobey the law? Did you know the Bible tells us in numerous places to disobey the law? What's the criteria? Whenever that law directly attacks the word of God, directly comes against, contradicts the Bible. Did you know that? It's mighty quiet in here right now. Jesus gave us the entire understanding of that in John chapter 19, verse 7. In the ESV version of the Bible, it says, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die. They're speaking about Jesus. We want him to die. He's offended us because he's made himself the Son of God. And verse 8 says, when Pilate heard that statement, he was even more afraid. And he entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, you will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Wow. All authority has been given by God. When a law contradicts the word of God, then we have a problem. We have a problem.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. You know, our prayer is that you persevere, even when you're tired and weary, by focusing on the end result. The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and I want to give you a reason why you should vote. But voting begins with registration. Unless you're registered, you can't vote. And listen, many states have already closed the door to that opportunity, so it's time to hurry. As a Christian, I want to exercise my biblical authority and right to shine the light and to do righteousness. And that begins with registering to vote. So right now, stop what you're doing, go online in your state, make a phone call, find out how you get registered to vote before the election, because your voice matters. So join me, because it's time to pray, vote, and stand.
Where is America headed? If the radical left has their way, it will be socialism, keeping you, your family, and your God locked up. Now, a documentary, After Trump, A Warning to America. This must-see film is now on demand, featuring interviews with Mike Huckabee, Jack Hibbs, Franklin Graham, Eric Metaxas, Alveda King, and Dennis Prager. It's time to rescue our America. Go to jackhibbs.com/aftertrump. View on demand, or get your own DVD copy to view and share with a friend for your gift of any amount. jackhibbs.com/aftertrump. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.